Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki jai, Vedanta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Jayantai Gopremananda ki jai, Hari Om. Okay. Phones off.
Okay, so welcome back
to Bhakti Vedanta class 2015. Good to see all of you. Tonight we'll do an orientation session, just discussing how the course will run for the year, just to get us back into the focus for the year. Tomorrow night we'll do an overview of the 8th canto, which we studied last year. Our plan this year in the Bhaktivedanta course is to finish the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very important canto, leading into the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And next year, by Krishna's mercy, we pray to Giriraj that we will begin the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which is the smiling face of Krishna. Okay, so first of all, we will give out our course books. So only take the course book if you're going to be coming regularly. If you're not coming regularly, don't take the course book. But if you're planning to come regularly, then you can please take it. Regularly? Yeah. Okay, so first of all, we'll go to page 3 of the course book, which is the dedication page, a picture of Prabhupada on that page. Okay. Good. Turn to the seat and we'll ask Mahatma Prabhu to please read the page 3. There's a picture of Prabhupada there. Please read.
Dedication. Om Ajnana Dhinathya Gyananjana Shalakya Prasthu Mintam Jena Prasme Shri Vrvena Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitae Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ki Namna Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurvani Pitale If you study Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly, then all your education is complete. You don't require any other book to read. You get from Srimad Bhagavatam all material and spiritual knowledge. And at the end, Krishna. This is the prophet. The Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, 2.3.22, Los Angeles, June 19, 1972. We dedicate the Bhakti Vedanta study guide to Srila Prabhupada, made with pleading to him and the Vaishnavas of the Swami.
So, Prabhupada says, if you study the Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly, what does this mean?
Scrutinizing it, very good.
What else does it mean?
Applying to your life.
Yeah, applying to your life. Yeah, that's nice. What else does it mean?
And preaching. Preaching about
it. Yeah, preaching.
Krishna.
That's good. Very good. What else does it mean?
The guidance. The guidance of the Lila Samami.
And under guidance?
Very good.
Why are you waiting? If you can, come on time. I'll start to my class.
Sit down.
Okay, what else? What does this mean?
If you study the Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly,
Systematically, very good. Must be systematic.
What else do we need?
Scrutinizing,
very good.
What does that mean to be scrutinizing?
To not only read, but read and try to understand the mood of what is actually being written.
Any other points?
I thought it's remembering everything as it is written.
Very good. Remembering everything as we read it.
Do you remember everything?
Canto
3, chapter 25, verse 4. What is that? Then, what else does it mean? You study the Bhagavatam perfectly. What does that mean? What does it mean to study it perfectly?
They understand the Krishna.
What's that?
They understand Krishna.
Yeah, to understand Krishna. That's nice.
What else does it mean? If we perfectly study the Bhagavatam.
So the main idea is to
learn from the authority.
Learn from the authority, very good. Nice.
The main aim for reading Bhagavatam is to recognize your sorrow.
Very good. Yeah. That is the goal of Bhagavatam.
Yes, yeah, that's the goal of Bhagavatam. Yeah. So if we understand and if we really feel that we are servant of Krishna and always try to serve him, then that is perfect.
Anything else?
Analytical study of Bhagavan. Study, like, understanding and studying. Not like just studying, like reading it like that. But understanding what is written in that and applying to your life and studying. And the same thing, glorifying the Lord also. There's a lot of glorification of the few devotees and Lord in the Bhagavan. So glorification of Krishna to the devotees. Hearing and remembering the glories of the few devotees and Krishna.
Good. Any other points?
By humbly surrendering to the person who is giving Bhagavatam lecture and with focus and asking questions, asking proper questions and having that proper empathy skills to learn and hear more about Krishna.
Good. Anything else? So perfectly study the Bhagavatam. I'm not tolerating this issue, it's against the direction. If this is continued, don't come. Okay? Straight up.
Otherwise, go to someone else's class.
To nurture the evolution of the culture of Bhagavatam.
That's one. What does that mean?
That means we should know about Krishna, we should be able to contribute something for Krishna's service and always remember him all the time. And never forget him.
Okay, good. Anything else? What does it mean? Perfectly study.
To get it from one of the four parampras?
Yeah.
Internalize.
Internalize it, you know, the message. Okay, so here Prabhupada is saying, if you study the Bhagavatam, not read it, but study it, it has to be scrutinizingly studied. Prabhupada said you should know the Bhagavatam like the lawyers know their law books, or like the Christian people know their Bible. And sometimes you speak to the Christian people, they say in the Bible it says this, the Bible says that. We should know the Bhagavatam like this. We should know the chapters, the verses, the sequence, the cantos, we should know the content of the Bhagavatam. To study it carefully. So Prabhupada said, you must study the Bhagavatam. It's not a light read. We don't just read the Bhagavatam casually. You have to study it very systematically, very carefully. And Prabhupada emphasized from the beginning to the end. Shukadeva Goswami, he spoke to Maharaj Parikshit very systematically. There is a systematic thread through the Bhagavatam. It is not haphazard. And it's not unsystematic. There's a reason why he's speaking canto to canto. And if you study the cantos properly, Srila Prabhupada says in the introduction of the Bhagavatam,
He says, by the end of Canto 9, which we hope to finish by this year, the end of Canto 9, he said, you should be a God-realized soul.
So that's a big responsibility. We should realize God at the end of this canto. And next year we pray by Krishna's mercy, Guru Raj's mercy, we go to Canto 10, where we've directly studied about God himself in his original form, a swine body.
So, you have to study it very systematically. So Prabhupada says, study the Bhagavatam perfectly. Perfectly means you have to assimilate it. Start practicing it. It should not be a theory, but it should be a part of our lives.
Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam is not something that we just study and then we do not act upon. It is not a scholastic or a scholarly...
We are studying it from the viewpoint of devotion.
As Lord Brahmana says within the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Dulabham Adulabham Atma Bhakto. Vedeshu Dulabham. You may study the Vedas, of which the Bhagavatam is the cream or the essence of the Vedic literature. But if you study it, it is very difficult. Dulabham means to study the Vedas is difficult. But it is easy. Adulabham Atma Bhakto. If you have devotion. So if you study the Bhagavatam perfectly, it means with devotion, not as a scholar, but as a devotee, to act upon the knowledge and to apply it in your life, then you will realize Krishna.
And that is the whole goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to realize Krishna. Prabhupada says the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to see Krishna face to face and to take his hand and lead him like Mother Yashoda does. So this is the goal of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, he has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam as the essential scripture in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. There are so many scriptures that Prabhupada could have translated. So many that he wanted to translate. But he chose the Bhagavatam as his principal work because he knew he only had limited time. He wanted to give us the main subject, the main scripture, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is chosen by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? As the Amala Purana, the Bhagavatam itself says at the end of the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Right? It is dear to the Vaishnavas. Why? Who is the head of the Vaishnavas? The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it is the Amala Purana. It is the pure, spotless Purana. Of all the literatures, it is the greatest. And you'll see when you study the writings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and the other Acharyas, when they want to make their point or substantiate what they're saying, their main authority is the Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll see. If you read Madhurya Kanambini, for example, which is an essential scripture in our tradition by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, you see, whenever he wants to substantiate himself, his main reference is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So everything is within the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of the Vedas. So we must study it perfectly. Perfectly means you have to hear it from the right person. Right? So primarily, in this study course, you're hearing it from me. So what is my qualification? My qualification is I do not change what I've heard from my guru and from Prabhupada. Right? And if anything I'm changing, then you have to. It is your responsibility to correct me. Right? If there's anything I said. So that is my qualification. Otherwise, we don't have qualification to speak on the Bhagavatam. But our qualification, Prabhupada says, is you do not change anything. So whatever I'm learning from my guru, from Srila Prabhupada and our disciplic succession, that's what I'm presenting here. So that is the qualification. Then the study becomes perfect. It becomes perfect because we do not change anything. If we're in the proper mood of hearing the Bhagavatam, right, with rapt attention, Prabhupada says. That's why this course is relishable, because everyone stays awake and they listen. You go to the Bhagavatam in the class in the morning in the temple. You know, tomorrow morning I'll give class in the temple. Quite often devotees start falling asleep. Right? Not in my class, because I wake them up. I just say to them, I just look straight at them. I say, Hare Krishna. If you want to rest, go and take rest. But don't sleep. It's an offense to sleep in. It's up or up to sleep in the Bhagavatam class.
It's Aparat, Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotions, Aparat to sleep in the temple. So don't sleep in the temple. If you want to sleep, go home. That's what your home is for, sleeping. But if you come to the Mandir, right, or to the Bhagavatam discussion, the Vaishnav Sangha, you don't fall asleep. Although it's like a pastime of all the devotees. You know, sometimes you're giving class, you're looking at someone, and they go. Should not do like that. You need to sleep, go and sleep.
Okay. Do not fall asleep in the class, that's the point. And the point of hearing the Bhagavatam is to hear it with a rapt attention. And Prabhupada says, if you're enthusiastic for Shravanam, you'll become enthusiastic for Kirtanam. Right? If you're enthusiastic to hear, and what was the qualification of Srila Prabhupada? The Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur knows him for. Prabhupada's guru, he only met him several times, but Prabhupada said, no, I have marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. So Prabhupada liked to hear from his guru, and he was blessed by his guru because he liked to hear. And Prabhupada said, because I was enthusiastic for Shravana, for hearing, now I'm enthusiastic for Kirtana, preaching. So the point of studying the Bhagavatam, if you're going to study it perfectly, then you must present it to others. Right? It's not just for ourselves, it's for everyone in the world. So we have to present this philosophy to everyone. Prabhupada said we need hundreds and thousands of gurus. Hundreds and thousands. How many do we have in this one? How many gurus? How many gurus are there in this kind of world?
140, 150.
Yeah, 140, 150. It's not very many. How many people are there on earth? Seven billion. There's 7 billion humans on earth at the moment, and there's 150 gurus. So how many does that mean? How many disciples does each one have? Whatever the equation is. It means millions. But is that possible? It's not even possible. How can you have millions of disciples? Not possible. So Prabhupada said there have to be hundreds and thousands of gurus. So if you study this book, you have to become a guru. Maybe not a Diksha guru, where you'll initiate people. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you have to become a Shiksha guru. It means you have to give this knowledge. It's your responsibility. If you're studying this, you have to give it to others. You have to preach. You can't just come in and do the course and everything like that. No, you have to preach. That is your responsibility. That means you're studying the Bhagavatam perfectly. Otherwise, you're a nonsense rascal. Nonsense rascal. Just studying, and not giving it to others. It means, like, if you're taking all the gulab jamuns, just taking them, don't give them to anyone else, that's not very good. That's not the mood of the Vaishnava. The mood of the Vaishnava, he will give to everyone. Whatever is left, he will say. And Prabhupada says, the more you give Krishna, the more you receive Krishna. The more you give him to others, the more he comes to you. Krishna says at the end of the Gita, the person who is most dear to me is the one who gives Krishna to others, teaches his signs to others. So this means studying it perfectly. So Prabhupada said, if you study the Bhagavatam perfectly, then all of your education is complete. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if all the other books on the earth disappear except for Bhagavad Gita, for Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya, these essential books, he said there is no loss. Yeah. None of us will, if we only have Bhagavatam, if that's the only book we have, no problem. Right? It's discussed in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would, every day when he was living in Puri, he would go through Tota Gopinath Mandir, and he would hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, he would go every day and he would hear the Bhagavatam. And it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he heard the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj in Canto 4, right? And Prahlad Maharaj in Canto 7, it says he heard them hundreds of times. Hundreds of times he heard. And he would go there, and Gadadhar Pandit would say, what do you want to read? What do you want to hear? And Mahaprabhu must have said, Prahlad Maharaj. He didn't say, oh, I heard it yesterday.
We fall asleep, we think, oh, I've heard this before, I've heard this before. No, but you have to rehearse the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that every time you read Bhagavatam, you will get fresh meaning. Every time. If you're not getting fresh meaning, this means you do not have enough bhakti.
But if you're pure, you will always get fresh meaning from the Bhagavatam.
So all your education is complete. You don't require any other book to read. You get from Srimad Bhagavatam all material and spiritual knowledge. So we get material knowledge as well as spiritual knowledge. Material knowledge means, Prabhupada says,
making money.
Yeah.
Material education.
About the
Yeah, but what do we get in the Bhagavatam? What material knowledge does it give us?
About the universe, Canto 3.
Right, teaches about astronomy.
Right.
About time, about science, the division of the atom. All these things are taught within the Bhagavatam. And it's interesting because there are things in the Bhagavatam,
the description of time, how time is understood,
which modern scholars say is completely accurate. And they're amazed that these things were written thousands of years ago. And planets, which are discussed, and even things on this earth, like the Saraswati River, which is no longer there in India. Right? It used to run down to the west side of India, over towards the Gujarat side. But now they found on satellite, they found the bed of the river traveling. So although it says now you cannot see these rivers, but in the Bhagavatam says thousands of years ago they were there. So then they read and they think, well, the Bhagavatam, they had all this knowledge previously. So all your spiritual and material knowledge can be derived from the Bhagavatam. It's perfect study. Personally, I don't read very much else. I just read Krishna conscious literature, mainly. I mean, sometimes I read something else, but not very much. A little bit of something I could read, though. But you can get all that you need to get from the pages of the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says, and at the end you will get?
Krishna.
So is that the best thing? Would you like to meet Krishna? And those of you like to meet Krishna, then you better start studying the Bhagavatam carefully.
Because Prabhupada says, at the end of the ninth canto, you should be God realized, you should see Krishna. Hands up if you will see Krishna by October this year. So then you have to go back to Canto 1. If you study seriously, you'll see Krishna.
At least we should feel that we're getting closer to Krishna, that's the point. Because I've been facilitating this course for the last 10 years or so, and we're just about to canto, and at the end of this canto, I should be God realized. But I'm not going to be fully God realized. But I'm getting greatly benefited. It's helping me go towards Krishna. I won't see Krishna this year. But it's helping me get to Krishna. It's developing my Krishna consciousness. You can make rapid advancement by studying the Bhagavatam. So powerful, it can rapidly purify you if you study with the right attitude. And what is the right attitude? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Pranipatena. You have to do seva. Don't just theoretical, I study. No, do some seva now. Parikrashnina means? Yeah, inquire. Ask questions. I don't understand this. So help me understand it better. And parikrashnina. Pranipatena. Means?
Submissive.
You have to be submissive. Pranipati means submissive. That means you have to be humble. Right? Otherwise, it doesn't open up to you. So if we have the right attitude, the Bhagavatam will reveal itself. Krishna will become revealed in due course of time. Prabhupada says, this is the prophet.
This is the prophet. Prabhupada spent his life translating this book. You have to understand. This was a great sacrifice that Prabhupada made for all of us. He's written thousands and thousands and thousands of words just to purify us. And Prabhupada says, responsibility of all of his followers to study all of his books. Hands up if you've read all of Prabhupada's books. One devotee. Yeah. So Prabhupada says we have to read all of his books 3 times. So you better get serious. Start reading. Stop wasting time on the internet. You waste so much time on the internet. nonsense wrestling. Okay. So read Bhagavatam. Increase your hearing, increase your chanting. Jiva Goswami says, if you're feeling unenthusiastic in your Krishna consciousness, increase your hearing and chanting. Then you'll feel enthusiastic. So we have to study this seriously. Okay. So we'll go over the class norms for this year.
We go over them every year. Brihabandhu, what is number one? What does this mean? What does number one mean? Yeah, we're not going to say, okay, we'll only hear the senior devotees speak. Everyone is equal. Everyone can have their contribution. And we will respect everyone's contribution in this class. Everyone is welcome to contribute. If you have some realization, you can contribute. What is number two? What would you like?
All contributions are valued.
Huh? All contributions are valued. What does this mean? What does it mean? No one understands?
Means it is implicit that whatever one says is a valuable, something that is of value, and then also
so respect it. You know, if someone says something on the other side of the room, you don't go, do you hear what they say? Yeah, but it's like the laugh. You can deal with it, you know, like that. No, everyone's contribution is valuable. We take it as valuable. In other words, we listen respectfully. One rule in this class is only one person at a time is allowed to speak. Okay, hands up if you're happy with that rule. Okay. So if I'm speaking, none of you speak. Right? And if you're speaking, no one else should speak. Right? So one person at a time can speak. Right? And we value the contribution. Right? What is number three? Shivram, what is number three?
We will accept responsibility for the outcome.
What does that mean? What does it mean? No one knows?
It means whatever is said, it should be, it should be agreed by all.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What else does it mean?
Take the ownership.
What's that?
Take the ownership of studies.
What does that mean? Take ownership.
What does that mean? Don't depend on someone else.
Yeah, but what does it mean? What's the point? We take responsibility for the outcome. What does that mean?
Mark, take responsibility for your mark.
No. Realization.
No, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean?
Well, we should...
What is the outcome?
Your study, progress and realization.
Yeah, that's good. How did you
know? We should make sure that whatever is outcome is of value.
Yeah, that's good. It means that we will accept responsibility for the outcome. So the philosophy has to stay intact. If I start preaching something which is not bona fide, right, it is everyone's responsibility to keep the course intact, to keep it on track. If I start deviating, it's your responsibility to pick me up. If any of you deviate, I will tell you immediately. I'll say, where is your reference for that? How can you verify that with Guru, Sadhu, and
Shastra?
Right? So everything I say has to be bona fide. Right? Like I've just been speaking before, I said Prabhupada said this or like that. So it has to be by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, it has to be certified. So it's everyone's responsibility. If I start preaching Ritvik philosophy or Gopinath or some other philosophy, then you all have to say, you know, Aniruddha Prabhu, I think Keshu is deviating. We have to chastise him severely. You take all the bamboo and come back to the temple and you come like that. But there has to be some, so it's everyone's responsibility. It's not just my responsibility. Like that. What is number four?
We will confront issues, not people.
What does this mean?
We deal with the issues, not the other.
Yeah, that's what it says.
We can disagree, but
yeah, it makes me
agree.
certain issues, we may have different opinions. Yeah, just like right now in ISKCON, what's one big issue which everyone's talking about?
Chocolate.
Okay. So what does that mean? What is the issue with chocolate? What is the issue with chocolate? You brought it up. What is the issue?
Yeah, some people are happy, they don't mind having chocolate.
Some don't. Okay, so what is it? Hands up if you're a chocolate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hands up you do not eat chocolate. Okay, so we've already got two divisions in the class. Right? We've already got devotees who do eat chocolate and devotees who do not eat chocolate. Right? And I know on the GBC, I know some GBC members do eat chocolate and some don't. I know that amongst the gurus, some do eat chocolate and some don't. So there's already division within ISKCON. ISKCON's basically two movements, right? Chocolate and carrot. Right? The carrot ISKCON, there's the chocolate ISKCON. Basically, that's our division.
Can we eat chocolate?
Then you're asking for my opinion.
Because, in temple, they were selling, my son asked, he said it's not chocolate. If he's a devotee, he cannot sell chocolate in the temple, but it was chocolate, it was cocoa. They were selling.
Selling
means? They were, for fundraising, they were selling some ice cream with chocolate.
Topping on ice cream though.
Chocolate topping.
Somewhere in the temple.
So it's a bit contradictory. Like when we tell our kids not to eat and when they're selling.
And they come to the temple, yeah. So it's a controversy. Yeah. So it's an issue. So we don't confront the person, we confront the issue. Now I don't come to you and I say, you eating chocolate? I know that you eat chocolate, I know your family is chocolate. I mean, not the person, but the issue. We discuss the issue based on Guru Sutta and Shastra. Right? And there's devotees who do it, devotees who don't, I know. I know GBC and gurus. Some don't and some do, so it is the thing. So that's one example. What's another example of an issue?
Rupik.
Yeah, Rupik issue, okay, that's an issue. But that's something that we have clear understanding of. Right? We are opposed to the Rupik philosophy, so there's no issue there. What's another issue in ISKCON right now?
Gay marriage.
What is it?
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage, that's an issue, right? That's a big talking point. Some devotees say it's okay, right? If someone wants to be homosexual, you know, two girls or two boys, they can have a relationship, they can be devotees, and there's no problem. And others say, no, you cannot have that. Like that. So that's an issue. I know devotees who are homosexual, and they're initiated, and they're very good devotees, and they're better devotees than I am. Right? So it's an issue like that. So we don't, because if one devotee says, okay, I think gay marriage is okay, and the other devotee says, I think it's not okay. We don't attack the person, we deal with the issue like that. What's another example of an issue in this context?
Woman being sannyasi.
I think women being sannyasi is an issue. I think it's women being guru.
Guru.
Yeah, guru. Not so much sannyasi. I don't think that. Maybe it's a little bit of an issue. But mainly, should a woman be a guru or not? That's an issue in ISKCON right now. The GBC is discussing whether or not it should happen. And many people, I know gurus and sannyasis and GBC members who say no woman should be a guru. Right? And there's many who say yes, there's no problem. So it's an issue in ISKCON. So once again, we don't attack the individual, we discuss the issue. Right? And on all those three of those things which we've discussed so far, chocolate, gay marriage, and women gurus, I have my opinion, my personal opinion. But it's an issue, so I can't say this is the only way. I won't give class, I won't say no, it is the only way. Because other devotees have a different opinion. So we discuss the issue. I have my reasons why I believe that, but I know other devotees who I respect, they don't accept those things. So this is how we discuss it. So we deal with the issue, not the... Doesn't mean we all start, after classes, one class, the chocolate leader sit over there and the Caribbean to sit over there. It's like, everyone who's in the gay marriage sits on this side and like that. We're not going to be like that. We discuss the issue, but we do not make it personal. Okay. And number five. Leela Mai Radhika.
We'll be punctual.
Oh my God. Priya Bano. We'll be punctual. We will be punctual. Okay. That's good.
Okay, so next year, we're starting the 10th canto. I've already said last year, we're going to get much more serious next year. We're going to start to get more serious this year. So don't come late. Bria, you were too late for that. That's not acceptable. If you're going to be late like that, don't come. Just don't come. Because I need to very concentrate, especially next year, like the mood changes completely. So I'm not accepting lateness. It's an offense to Krishna if you come late. Because it's Bhagavatam. Especially next year, it's 10th canto. And you come late, I mean, you know, imagine if Krishna's sitting here and Krishna's, you know, taking prasad with his cowherd friends, you just kind of walk in late. You know, Krishna's like, you know, where were you? Everyone's been here for like half an hour already. You don't do that to Krishna. It's like when you do deity worship, Prabhupada said two things are important in deity worship. What are they?
Cleanliness and punctuality. You can't just offer the, you know, you can't go to Rose Oliver and just put the plate on the altar half an hour late or 15 minutes late. So this is the same. Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna. It's non different from Krishna. It is non different from the deity. So you don't just turn up whenever you want with the mind.
Prabhu, I want to know what's the maximum cutoff time.
Maximum cutoff?
No, that's fair. That's a fair question. That's a good question. Maximum cutoff time is 7:40.
7:45.
40. Make it 7:45. No, because if I say 7:45, it becomes 8 o'clock.
No,
it's 7:40. 7:40. It's not my problem. You go and speak to God if you have a problem with it. 7:40. Because the class actually starts at 7:30. I was here at 7:30. Everyone's like, you know, walking in like now. You know, like that. You don't come like that. Right, 7:40. Okay. Everyone's happy with these class norms? Hands up if you were following them this year.
We have two more of it.
Yeah, you have to. That's the point. Because it's a class. We need class norms. If there's no discipline, then everything becomes difficult. So there has to be some discipline. I will follow it, but you also have to follow it.
Okay. Practical arrangements. So the schedule.
The class will begin at 7:30, run till 9 o'clock. You know, I don't run overtime. We start on time. We don't go late. It runs pucker. It's Monday and Tuesday night, as it has been for many years. You need to bring your own pens and books to take notes, if you want to take notes, especially if you're taking the exams, then you have to write your own notes. The fees, it's up to you. Some devotees give $5 a week, some give $10 a week. It's up to you, 5 or 10, that's your choice. But it must be paid regularly this year, because I had trouble last year. Devotees at the end of the year were not paying. It's not fair that some devotees are paying for the course and other devotees do not, right? So don't do this thing where everyone waits till the end of the year and some devotees don't pay. It's not fair for the group, okay? So everyone should pay week, like Muhammad Prabhu pays every week. Every week he pays like that. So you should be paying weekly or every second week or something. But don't do like that. Don't leave it to the end, because I know some devotees, I write down who gives what, right? Because I have to give it to the temple. And I write down who gives what, and some devotees are not paying, some devotees are paying. You know, if you're poor, you don't have money, you come and speak to me, that's no problem. The course is not about money, but at the same time, everyone should be following the same. You know, if one devotee pays and another doesn't, it's not fair. Okay, so everyone follow properly this year. Everything's becoming a little bit more strict this year. Is that okay? It's going to become more strict.
Per person.
Not that. 5 or 10, it's up to you. Some give 10, some give 5, that's up to you. But it must be paid regularly. That's the point.
Okay. Attendance. If you want to do the exams, if you want to just come and listen, that's okay. Okay. But if you want to do the exams, you have to be here at least 50% of the week. It means you have to come at least one night a week. If you don't come one night, don't do the exams. If you're coming less than 50%, don't do the exams because you're wasting my time. Okay, but if you want to do the exams, you have to come at least 50%. Better if you come more, 70% or 100%, that's better. But 50% cut off. Don't do the exams if you're not coming. You know, some devotees, I don't even see them for 3 months and they just come and write the exam. I know some devotees do that. What's the point of that? So if you're going to come, then you can do the exam. Okay, and I'm giving out the course material here. I've given out the course material to the devotees. It will also be, actually it won't be on the website, it won't be online. But Chaitanya Prabhu will put the, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu will put the classes. We record the classes. He puts them onto the temple website. So if you miss the classes, if you want to keep up, you can also miss them. Okay, so. Any questions? No questions? They're practical things. Okay, so your student handbook, you will have this during the year. The student handbook is for your benefit, so you can use it to assist you in your study of the Bhagavatam. It's a very good book. It's created by the MIHE, the Mayapur Institute for Higher Education. My friend Atul Krishnaprabhu, who comes here usually once a year to preach, he is making this book. So he allows us to use it for our course. It's very beneficial for our course. So we will go to the next page. Introduction, which is on page 5. So Nila Gopra, you'd like to read the page 5 introduction.
During the course, you will require the following: Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 9, Student's Handbook. How to use this student handbook? This is your handbook for the Bhakti Vedanta course. At the beginning of each unit, you will find the scheduled reading assignments for the unit. These assignments must be completed before each lesson. Four was preliminary self-study, and Adhyaya Kada Sara, chapter will be referred to during the lessons. The Patana Prayojanam educational goals for learning objectives for each unit are what we are aiming to achieve by end of each unit.
Thank you. So, you will need the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, the study guide, and then there's some extra books there which you can look at to help you. So as you go through the study guide, you will see there is these sections. Each chapter is analyzed, and there are certain questions which are there which can help you prepare for your exams. So use the study guide. Many of you use it when you're preparing for your exams. Very helpful and very useful. So if you go to the next page, page 6. What's that one?
The Srimad Bhagavatam at a glance.
That's by Narayani Mataji. Yeah, she's.
She has a book.
Yeah, she has books. Many books. There's one for each canto. So you maybe if she's here at the moment, if you speak to her, then she can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it one book or one?
No, each canto there is one book. One first canto, second canto, one book for each.
Okay.
That's all.
And the Gurunga,
yeah, the other one is.
That's the Brahma.
Puna Bhukha. Yeah, that's like a summary of the Bhagavatam, that one.
Okay,
so read on page 6. What is Shastric study? Sri Ram Prabhu.
By the term Shastric study, we refer to the study of the Vedic scriptures, Shastra, and specifically the books of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The importance of Srila Prabhupada's books is encapsulated in the following excerpts from the ISKCON law. Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Definition: to fulfill the previous Acharya's desire for a united worldwide preaching organization to expand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a district branch of the Brahma Mathura Gaudiya Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Therefore, he is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada, is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. This means that he is the ISKCON's link with the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that his writings, oral teachings, and the exemplary actions remain the permanent and irreplaceable basis for all subsequent teachings of ISKCON. He is and will remain always the instructing spiritual master of all devotees in ISKCON. Law Revision Committee 9.6.19.
Good. So, any points here?
Srila Prabhupada's position is unique.
Yeah, it is unique in ISKCON. He is known as the founder Acharya.
So if you look on the books, if you look on the first, if you look on the Bhagavatam, the ninth canto, what does it say at the bottom?
Yeah, so when the DVT began in the early 70s,
Srila Prabhupada, on one printing of one of the books,
they did not write Founder Acharya. No, the devotees left it off because there was some problem in ISKCON at the time, and some devotees were belittling Prabhupada's position. So when Prabhupada, they gave him the book, because whenever they printed a new book, they would give it to him, the first copy. And Prabhupada, so it did not say Founder Acharya. And Prabhupada was very upset. He said, no, it must say Founder Acharya. So Prabhupada is the Founder Acharya. There are many Acharyas, there are many gurus in ISKCON. But one person is the Shiksha Guru for the whole movement, and that is Prabhupada. And the whole of ISKCON is based upon Prabhupada's teachings and Prabhupada's books. So everything we teach in this course is strictly following Prabhupada's mood and his mission. Like that. So we will not deviate from Prabhupada's teachings while we're teaching this course. And the only books that we are studying, or the principal books that we are studying within ISKCON, are Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says in the very first purport of Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, I think the second last paragraph, Prabhupada said that we should study all of the works of the previous Acharyas. So Prabhupada told us we should study all of the books of the previous Acharyas. But he said that his books are the basis. So I know myself, I read other books, I don't just read Prabhupada's books. I read other books by the previous Acharyas, Chaitanya Bhagavad I'm reading at the moment. Shiva Ramaswamy's books, which are very nectarian, I'm reading at the moment. But Prabhupada's books are my main diet. If you want to be healthy, you have to have good diet, isn't it? If you have health problems, mean you're eating too many sweets or too many pakoras. Devotees like to eat too many pakoras and sweets. That's his job. Okay, no problem. But then you'll have health problems. So if you want a good diet, you have to eat properly. So our diet means it is mainly Prabhupada's books. Mainly. And then we can read the other books. It's not that we're not allowed. Prabhupada never said not to read the other books. He encouraged us to read, but he said that his books must be the main books. So we're studying very carefully the Prabhupada's books, according to ISKCON law. Okay, four Shastric degrees. Prima Trangini, you can read the page 7.
Srila Prabhupada himself presented an outline for the study of scriptures. As demonstrated by the following excerpt from one of his letters, Bombay, 10 January 1976. My dear Swarupa Damodara, please accept my blessings. I beg to thank you for your letter, dated December 26, 1975, and I have noted the contents carefully. You are planning to have the Bhakti Vedanta Summer Institute in one of our forms is a very good idea. Brahmana means Pandita. Therefore, I am suggesting examinations, Bhakti Shastri, for all Brahmanas based on Bhagavad Gita, Sri Ishopanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and all the small paper bags. Bhakti Vaibhava, that above plus first 6 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Vedanta, the above plus cantos 7 to 12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Sarvabhauma, the above plus Chaitanya Charitamrita. These titles can correspond to entrance BA, MA, PhD. So just consider how to organize this institute. At Mayapur, we shall finalize everything. Hoping this meets you well. Your ever well-wisher, AC Bhakti
Prabhupada. So, we are seeing that Prabhupada is himself saying there must be Shastric degrees. Now, Prabhupada said that before one takes Brahman initiation, second initiation in ISKCON, we have first initiation, Harinam Diksha, then we have the second initiation. Srila Prabhupada said before you get second initiation, you must have Bhakti Shastri degree. And recently, in Europe, ISKCON Europe, their regional council, they have made that a law. And hopefully that will be passed in Australia soon also.
and all over the whole world. Right? So before you take initiation, you must have bhakti shastri. And then Prabhupada said that if you take sannyas, hands up if you're looking to take sannyas. So if you want to take sannyas, Prabhupada said you must have bhakti by bhak, which means first six cantos. That's minimum. And now we're having bhakti vedanta. Bhakti vedanta means?
Next
six cantos. Right? And then finally, there is bhakti sarvabhauma, which has not been taught in this class as yet. Bhakti sarvabhauma means Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're hoping that will begin. I'm praying the Burujanta will teach it. But I don't know if he will teach it or not, if he has the time. But that will also be taught within ISKCON. So Prabhupada said there should be shastic degrees by going to university. ISKCON is an educational institution. Otherwise Prabhupada said, if we do not have education in the temples, he said you will simply smoke and stop worshipping the deity. I mean, smoke ganja. Prabhupada said that. Said if you don't study his books, he said, devotees, if they stop, if the temple is here, if you're not studying books, you'll just smoke ganja, and you'll just worship the deity. But you won't do any study or preaching like that. The preaching will stop. So that is the system. We must study Prabhupada's books, and we must study them systematically, and we must get the degrees. And Prabhupada said there must be examinations. Why do we have the exams? What is the main purpose of the exams? The main purpose of the exam is so the teacher can get all the students back. Because if you don't bring me sweets, then I give you very hard exams. And this is the way that I get everyone. That's not the real purpose of the exams. The real purpose of the exams is that we study properly. It makes you study. I watch all the devotees. When it comes to exam time, everyone's like reading and studying and taking it seriously, writing the notes and stuff like that. So it is expected that as we go through the course, because tomorrow night we will recount Canto 8, do a revision, and then next Monday we'll begin Canto 9. So it is expected that you keep up with the reading as we go through. Most devotees don't keep up with the reading. They just come, they listen to what I'm saying, they write it down. But actually, the best standard is that you're reading, even you should be ahead of where we are discussing. That is the best. Then you will learn it the most. Okay, so we turn over to the next page. Page 8, we will read. Sharadarata, can you read the...
Overview of the four leading courses on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's letter. The VTE has proposed A. Four consecutive courses focusing on the books shown in the table below. First, Ashtavakti Shastri. Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Upanishad, Nectar of Devotion. Second, Bhakti Bhava. The first six cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Third, Bhakti Vedanta. The second six cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, the entire text of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. B. The above four courses are nested. In other words, for any degree, the specific materials for previous degrees are also studied. For example, Bhagavad Gita is studied throughout all four courses. This suggests that from Bhakti Bhava onward, it will be studied in relation to the other 11 books and at progressively higher levels.
Very good.
So we see here at the top there is this
term VTE. What does VTE stand for?
Vaishnava.
Vaishnava?
Education.
Vaishnava? Training.
Training and education.
So VTE was started by Rasamandala Prabhu, who is a disciple of Prabhupada in England. So VTE is part of ISKCON, right? It's Vaishnava Training and Education, and he began standards
for training and developing courses in ISKCON. Now he doesn't teach it as much, but he was the one who began the systematic training of the courses in ISKCON.
So there are two things which he especially emphasizes in his BTE training. The first is called aims-driven learning. There must be aims to what we are trying to learn. These are the 12 aims of Shastric study. We'll go over these in a minute. And then the second thing that he emphasizes in BTE is participatory learning, which means it is not just the teacher just speaking to you all the time, but everyone can participate. So if you have questions, you can ask questions any time through the class. We can debate, we can discuss. So it's participatory learning. Not that I just sit here, just speak for 1 hour, and then at the end, you know, like that. But there must be... So 12 aims of Shastric study. First aim is? Knowledge. What does that mean?
To understand the
knowledge means what is it? Part of our study is to get knowledge, right? Learning shlokas, just like when we have the exams, you'll have shlokas, key memory verses that you have to memorize. That's part of knowledge. Part of our Shastric study is just to remember things. What are the 12 mahajans? What are the 9 items of bhakti? What are the 64 items of bhakti? This is knowledge. So a certain amount of our study is just to memorize, memory and retention. But in the modern educational system, quite often the students who get the highest marks are just the people who memorize the best. So we're not just going to concentrate on one thing, but you have, there's 12 different ways that we're going to educate the students. And your exams, when we do the exams, there's 3 ways that we mark the exams. First is the closed book exam, right, what you write. Then the second is the open book exam, your essay. And the third is your oral presentation. So we have to organize oral presentations because our oral presentation devotees that you could offer their presentation, one was the Siddha Raja Prabhu, who is now in India. One is Muralidhar Prabhu, who was still doing it last year. I'll have to contact him and find out if he's still doing that. One was Ananda Vallabha Prabhu, who's also not always here, and also Chandrabalabhi. Chandrabalabhi is not always here too, so we'll have to follow that up. Just remind me. Do you want to give me a moment?
Yeah.
Just find out, and we'll follow up, make sure that we've got that. But at least Merle is doing it, and then we'll have to see. And Chandrabalabhi did it last year also. So we'll see if those two are still doing it. Okay, the next aim is understanding. In other words, when you walk out of this class, after you've heard studying the ninth canto, and someone says, what did you learn tonight? You have to present that in your words. Prabhupada said, repeat the philosophy in your words. Don't just repeat like a parrot. Sometimes when we do the exams, and I ask a question, and then, because you all study together to prepare for the exam, and then the exam's like, everyone writes the same thing. Because I said something, I used one example in the class, and every, you know, 6 students, during the exam, 6 students write, what is that? That's not your words. Right? That's something that I said, that Jagannath Rampapa wrote down, and then he gave you all the notes or whatever, and then you all write the same thing. What's that? So that means you didn't understand things necessarily. It means, yeah, you've got knowledge, you memorized it, but did you understand it? Maybe, maybe not. So you have to put it in your words. So if you want to get good marks in the exams, write your words. Don't just write, you know, someone else's words. You know, what Jagannath Rampapa wrote. You know, but do it. You know, make sure it's all individual. Personal application. How does this philosophy apply to me? Some of the questions on the exams ask you, what would you do in this circumstance? What is your personal plan? Right? Sometimes I ask this question, what is your personal plan? And some devotees write the same thing every exam. My personal plan is chant 16 rounds. Study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Come to that, yeah, no, you write that every exam for the last 10 years. Right? We want something else in there. You want to get a good mark? Think about it. Write something else. Right? Preaching application. Sometimes we say that Mayavadi says to you on the exam, how will you respond?
So how do you preach? We're testing. How do you preach? What's your preaching like? You can come to the class, but then how do you convince someone else? Faith and conviction. Do you have faith? Are you convinced? One time Prabhupada said to all these GBC men that were sitting in the room with Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, are you convinced that Krishna is God? No one put their hand up. Sannyasi's group, top men in the room, huh?
Why not?
Well, because when Prabhupada asks you, then it's maybe a little different. Yeah, if I say, are you convinced that Krishna is God? I say, yeah. But Prabhupada says it, are you convinced Krishna is God? Then you're in front of Prabhupada then.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you should have been one of the GBC.
But I would have said yes.
Yeah, so that means you should have been one of the GBC. I'll write to them. Authority, right? Do we accept the authority? Some things in the scriptures are very extraordinary, right? Do you accept the authority of the scripture, the Bhagavatam? Like Prabhupada, famous example, when Prabhupada was giving that class here in Melbourne in 1975, I think, he was in the temple, and Prabhupada was saying there are eagles which fly in between the planets and pick up elephants and feed them to their young. At the end of the class, Prabhupada said, any questions? And one devotee put their hand up and said, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes. Said, you're talking about the eagles which fly in between the planets? Prabhupada said, yes. So Prabhupada, are we ready to literally believe this? Prabhupada said, what would you know? You're still in the womb of your mother. So do you believe these things? That's the point. That's authority. Do we accept the authority? Theological application. How would you present this to someone outside? To say if you have to write an article for the newspaper, right? If you're preaching to devotees, we preach in one way. But when you're preaching for the public, right, you have to preach very differently. Because they don't accept everything that we accept. So the way you present Krishna consciousness has to be very expert. Prabhupada said one time, he said, when you preach at the universities, when the students are speaking to you, he said, you agree with whatever they say. Because they say all sorts of things. So Prabhupada said, you agree with what they say. He said, yes, yes, that's good. But then you give them the Krishna conscious understanding. Maybe you say, we don't agree with that. That's just completely, because they say crazy things. But when you preach to non-devotees, you have to be very careful how you preach. Theological, that's theological application. Evaluation. You have to evaluate in your own life. Or evaluate in this world. What is good, what is bad. So if we ask you for evaluation, please evaluate this on your exam. You have to give both sides. Mood and mission. We want devotees to develop the right mood in ISKCON. What is the mood of ISKCON? ISKCON has a very particular mood. It's even different to the Gaudiya Math. It's different to other Gaudiya Vaishnava institutions. ISKCON has a very particular mood about it. So we have to understand what is the mood of Prabhupada. He has a very special mood. Academic and moral integrity. Do you have moral integrity? Hands up if you never lie. Are we allowed to lie?
Yeah, at times.
Yes, at times. What is our pramana? What is our evidence that you are allowed to lie?
The producer of food and of my age.
Yeah, there was one verse, it was in last year in the 8th canto. There was one verse at the end of one of the chapters. It said, under these circumstances you can lie. Shukracharya said, they list actually, there are certain things you're allowed to lie. But, not all the time. Not that. But I just asked, do you lie? Hands up if you don't steal anything. 1, 2, 3. You don't steal anything, the rest of you steal things. So that's not in the Shastra, is it? But we do it. So is this moral integrity? Yeah, I say that in the Rupa Guru, all my students, they steal, they lie. Is that moral integrity? No. Bhagavatam teaches do not steal, do not lie. Some of the Bhagavatam. But we do it. Actually, it says in the Shastra, it says there is a statement. If you steal something for Krishna, you don't make any advancement, but you don't get any reaction. If you steal something for yourself, you get the reaction. Devotees say, I took it for Krishna. Like that. So you have to be very careful.
What if we steal prasadam?
What's that?
What if we steal prasadam?
Yeah, it's in the scriptures, there's no reaction. I steal prasadam all the time. Jamashtami, like, you know, Prabhupada's disappearance day, I mean the gula jamas. So when I'm walking through the tent to get my plate, and the devotees are walking past with their plate with the gulabs, I just take it off the plate. I stay right in front of them.
See, Prabhupada, yeah. Stealing is something, a very broad thing. See, if you give something to your children, and if they are not there, and if you lose it, then that's stealing too.
Not really.
But you have already given it to them.
Yeah, we talked about that in the past.
We discussed this last year.
Yeah. But family's okay. Like, if someone uses, you know, in a family, like in my family, like someone uses my stuff, I don't come and say, you know, you stole my toothbrush. So, you know, a toothpaste, you let them use it. Yeah, make sure you give it back. But. Okay, realization. We study to get realization. We want to realize Krishna. We don't want to have theoretical knowledge, but realize knowledge. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, jnanam vijnanam. Right? Jnana means knowledge, but vijnanam means realization. We need to develop realization from our study. And Shastra Chakshus. Shastra Chakshus means you see in the eyes of Shastra. Right? What does it say in the scripture? You are not the body, you are the soul. Everyone, hands up if you realize that. Hands up if you see like that. One, two people. Three, four. Yeah, you don't actually.
We don't actually see like that. We see according to the material world or the material body. So these are the points of our study. Now, tomorrow I will give you the key memory verses, the KMVs, for this section. Now we'll read one more page. The overall purposes of systematic Shastric study. Jivuna Jivan Prabhu, you like to read that?
We have already touched on clarity of purpose and the three other principles expressing the broad aims of a Krishna conscious education, pages 14 and 15. In following these principles, the VTE has developed an aims-driven approach towards education. Srila Prabhupada. If you have no goal, it is simply useless. There is the example, a man without any purpose is like a ship without a rudder. An airplane normally goes with an aim to land in some country. But if it flies on without any known destination, then there will be disaster. So without an aim, what is the use of practice? The following is the VTE's overarching purpose in promoting the systematic study of Srila Prabhupada's books. The overall purpose of the systematic Shastric study, to nurture the evolution of a Brahminical Krishna conscious leadership whose members are expert in the study and assimilation of Shastric knowledge and are proficient in its application in their own lives, in helping others, and in perpetuating the mission of Srila Prabhupada. The educational aims to be fulfilled through the teaching process are listed on the next page. You may wish to compare them with the overall purpose written above.
Very good. So the overall purpose of systematic Shastric study, Prabhupada says, is to nurture the evolution of a Brahminical Krishna conscious leadership. So Prabhupada said we need to develop a class of Brahmanas. Brahmanas means devotees who are learned and who can give guidance to society, because society needs guidance at this point in time. Whose members are expert in the study and assimilation of Shastric knowledge and are proficient in its application in their own lives, in helping others, and in perpetuating the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Okay.
So tomorrow night we'll do an overview of Canto 8. Please come. And next week we'll begin Canto 9. Like that. Thank you all for coming.